Gender pronouns are the terms we use to reflect our gender identity. They include terms such as she, her, he, him, or gender-neutral pronouns such as they, them, and more. The understanding of gender pronouns has grown in recent years in the mainstream, with the introduction of gender pronouns in the workplace and in public forums. But why are they important, and why is using the correct pronouns such as just as important as acknowledging them? So here for our inaugural Agenda on Language discussion is UWA Senior Lecturer in Linguistics and the Director of soon-to-be-launched People and Language Lab in UWA, Dr. Celeste Rodriguez-Lureau. Thank you so much for coming on the agenda this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hello, Em.
So could you start by letting us know, what are gender pronouns?
Yeah, sure. So gender pronouns are basically a part of someone's gender expression, and people can have multiple sets of pronouns for themselves. So in my case, I use the pronouns she, her, and hers because I identify as a cis woman. That is, I consider myself to be a person whose gender identity aligns with the sex I was assigned at birth, and as such, I am comfortable, I feel safe using the pronouns she and her and hers, and that's the way that I kind of show my gender identity through language. It's my choice.
Okay, thanks so much. That sounds individualized. You mentioned sex. Could you tell us the difference between sex and gender?
Yeah, so generally speaking, sex tends to be viewed as more of a biological trait, and gender, at least the way we teach it in the field of sociolinguistics, is much more socially constructed. So when I was referring to the pronouns that I myself prefer in how I present myself socially, of course, the whole idea of gender pronouns is that it allows people to have some agency around how they wish to be identified. And so gender is socially negotiated, right? So that is what we're all learning and unlearning at this point.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for that. Could you give us some more examples? For example, who ascribes to certain pronouns?
Yeah. So in addition to the more traditional categories of man and woman and, you know, using she or he, we have a whole community of people who may not wish to be identified or may not identify themselves using this binary. And so a term that tends to be used for people who are not identifying in this way, maybe non-binary or gender queer. And one of the most frequently used, most popular pronouns that are preferred in this case are the pronouns that you mentioned before, Emily, and they're pronouns they and them and their. They used here in the singular as well, and not in the traditional way that we have learned to use them before, but in a way that allows us to refer to a third person without necessarily committing to whether they are, you know, committing to the binary of man or woman. And then it's about inclusion and respect for how people view themselves.
Yes, definitely. Again, going back to that individualized, and you don't really know until you ask someone to their face, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly. And yes.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, that's such an important point because I guess asking someone how they view themselves, you know, some people may feel shy or, you know, may feel unsafe even asking a question. So one of the things that I tend to do, and that's why I started off with how I view myself, is to basically, when you meet a new person or even during an online interaction, to make it very clear what your own pronouns are. So in doing that, you're kind of making it safe for someone else to say, well, I'm so-and-so, and my preferred pronouns are such, you know, they're she and they, or he and they, or he, him, his, or whatever they might be. There's many, many different types of gender-neutral pronouns in use. But again, as I said before, the most frequent ones are the ones around they. So that's what I'm referring to now. And one way that I do this is that, say, online, next to my name on a Zoom interaction or a Teams interaction or Google Meet, I tend to add my pronouns, my preferred pronouns, as well as on Twitter and my email signature. So these are ways that you can create a more safe, you know, a safer place for people to then tell you what their own preferences are.
Yeah, brilliant. I love it. Thank you so much. You're on RTRFM 92.1. This is our very, very first segment on the agenda this morning, Agenda on Language. We have UWA Senior Lecturer in Linguistics and Director of soon-to-be-launched People and Language Lab, Dr. Celeste Rodriguez-Lureau. We're very, very, very excited to have you and be talking to you today. Can you tell us why does all this matter? Why do we need to worry about all this?
Yeah, this is the key question here. So basically, the choice of appropriate gender pronouns is a matter of social justice. So the issue here is diversity and inclusion. So we are making sure every time that we acknowledge, every time that we make explicit what our preference is, we're making it, we're creating a safe place, as I was saying before, for others to do the same. And this is what builds a more inclusive space for us to operate in socially. I found something online as I was preparing for today, which I really, really liked. I want to share with you. So this is Mary O'Hara, who's communications officer at GLAAD. GLAAD is a Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. And what she says about gender pronouns, gender neutral pronouns, is that, well, just in general, she says using the correct pronouns for trans and non-binary youth is a way to let them know that you see them, that you affirm them, that you accept them, and to let them know that they are loved during a time when they're really being targeted by so many discriminatory policies. It's really just about letting someone know that you accept their identity. It's really as simple as that. Isn't that wonderful?
That's brilliant. I mean, at the basis of it all, we all just want to be seen and accepted. Yeah, I don't know why sometimes that's so hard for people to understand. Yeah,
exactly. And the reason I was mentioning social justice before is that social justice as applied to institutions and, you know, the workplace and people just trying to make things happen together, it's the basis of social justice is love. You know, it's basically just love applied to all of these things. And so it's just becoming aware that someone's identity may not be as widely accepted as your own. And so just offering that bit of empathy and understanding and openness can make a big difference to someone's life.
Exactly. Yeah. And you mentioned earlier, it's specifically this time at the moment, these specific groups are being targeted by people. And I'm wondering what misgendering is and what impact it has.
Yeah, misgendering is one of those really violent practices in a way, because although someone may not necessarily know that they're doing it, misgendering is basically just using, just identifying the gender of a person incorrectly. So, for example, say that someone has recently gone through a process of becoming, you know, they're a transgender person and they've recently changed their name, but that is not yet reflected on their driver's license, for example. We know that those things take time. And so if you were to judge, you know, to choose someone's pronoun based on their name as shown on their driver's license, for instance, rather than on what they are telling you they preferred to be called, you may very well misgender them. So I guess it's about assumptions, the assumptions that we make based on what we see, the assumptions that we fail, the choices we fail to make based on what we see. It's just like judging by, say, what someone's name is legally when those things can take time to change. So I think it's just making everyone more aware that that there's agency in how we see ourselves and respecting that agency.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. So awareness first, and then breaking it down and understanding that it's really important and continuing to use the correct pronouns.
Yeah. But also understanding why the correct pronouns must be, you know, why this mm-hmm. is such an important issue. The issue here, again, is about inclusion, and it's about acceptance that not everyone will live in the binary of he and she, and that there is the issue of transgender identities, which are exactly the opposite of a cis identity, where you're kind of moving over to the other side, as the term trans suggests. And so no one is really asking anyone to be an expert. I mean, the thing too is that any sort of behavior around language is changing constantly, right? As a linguist, I can vouch for that, and we all know it as well. But you know, that's what we do as a living, just like sort of as a linguist, document this change. So whatever is happening at the moment may not necessarily, in terms of pronouns, for instance, may not necessarily be in place in 20, 30, 40 years' time. But what will still be in place is the need to allow people to express themselves and their identities.
Awesome. Yep, the running theme. Let people know that they're seen. I love that.
Yes.
All right, so with all that in mind, what do you think are some good tips for getting pronouns right and prioritizing pronouns in the workplace, for example?
Yeah, that is so important. That's such a great question, because it's, again, important to also not just be aware of different identities as an individual, but also have some sort of formal, you know, some suggestions as to how to go about this. What I suggest is to start off by making your own pronouns known to others, and that's what I was referring to before, whether when you meet a new person, you say, hello, my name is Celeste, and my preferred pronouns are she, her, and hers. And then you're kind of making it safe for others to tell you what their preferred pronouns are. So that's one way of doing that. But also make sure that you're adding your preferred pronouns to Zoom, to Twitter, to your email signature. Just normalizing this, you know, it's a bit like when you introduce yourself and you tell someone what your name is, right? So in addition to that, you could add pronouns just to create this safe place around expressing one's gender identities. That's what I would suggest, and that's what I am suggesting, actually, as part of a diversity committee that I sit in on here at UWA. And we have a whole guide to language, you know, the correct sort of language to be used in this sense. But I think we need to keep it simple, and we need to start with our own, the way that we are introducing ourselves, and then that eventually catches on and it becomes normal practice.
Awesome. Ah, that's so doable. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we want to make it doable, because it's not that difficult at all.
True. You've definitely shed a lot of light for us at RTRFM here this morning, Dr. Celeste Rodriguez-Luro. Thank you so much for coming on the agenda today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Emily, for having me.
Thanks so much. So here on RTRFM 92.1, we've just been talking to Dr. Celeste Rodriguez-Luro, an amazing, amazing local senior lecturer in linguistics and the director of a people and language lab that's going to be launched at UWA very, very soon. If you missed that chat, you can always restream it on rtrfm.com.au. That was Agenda on Language. That'll be a weekly segment on the agenda.